Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show today, Jason Weingarten, professional bettor. We will get his thoughts on all things MLB. It will be a full baseball show, awards, futures, win totals. We'll see everything he's bet, everything he's thinking about betting. And baseball is where we'll start as we turn the calendar to March 1st. Finally, still a few days away from some of these conference tournaments in college basketball, but once you get into these, and if you're a college basketball fan, it goes quickly into Selection Sunday, the start of March Madness, the NCAA tournament. And before you know it, you look up and it's time for baseball. And it's really strange that some of these big name guys, like Blake Snell has won two Cy Youngs, including the Cy Young last year, hasn't been signed. Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, JD Martinez. I mean, it's not like it's early February anymore. I mean, we're starting to get to the point where we're a few weeks away from the season. I guess once these guys sign, they can get acclimated quickly and be ready to go. It's not like football where you have to learn the system. If you're Blake Snell, you just you go out there and you pitch. If you're one of these hitters, you go out there and you hit. It's not like you need to learn plays or anything like that, but still very odd that these guys haven't signed. So we look at the odds to win the World Series. Just I'm gonna pull these up. DraftKings, I'll use them. Dodgers plus 350, Braves plus 450, Astros 8-1, Yankees 10-1, Orioles 12-1, Rangers 14-1 to repeat, Phillies 15-1, Blue Jays 20-1, Mariners, Twins also 20-1. Then you get the Cubs at 25-1, the Diamondbacks and the Rays at 35-1. There's a fall off after that. It's really hard to find value for a couple reasons. First of all, with betting becoming more prominent, they're just not giving you fat prices on anyone that has any sort of a pulse, any sort of a chance. That goes for all these sports, MVP, football, winning the Super Bowl. They're not going to hang huge numbers because people are betting more and more. They don't want the risk. They don't want the liability. I mean, you look at the Mets are 45-1. The Red Sox are 50-1. I mean, those teams are missing a zero. Those teams have no chance to win a World Series. And it's not like you're getting 100-1 where, hey, you get them in the playoffs and who knows. I mean, 45-1, 50-1, those are just really bad numbers. If you're looking down the board, I guess like the Guardians at 70-1 could win a division. And then, you know, you're in the playoffs with an opportunity to maybe hedge off that number, but like Cleveland's not winning the World Series. And even now when you win the division, and this is the other thing with baseball, the format makes it so hard to predict who's going to win because there's extra steps. Like you could win the division and you still have to win the best two out of three. If you're that three seed, there's so many extra rounds. There's so many extra teams. They've made it impossible to sit here in February, March and try to talk about who's going to win a World Series. I mean, you could talk about who's going to be in the playoffs, but once you get in the playoffs with these extra rounds, the layoffs for the teams that have the good records, it's, all bets are off. I mean, who knows? I wouldn't take a shot on any of these short prices. The Dodgers plus 350, the Braves plus 450. I mean, these are just too short. Yankees at 10-1 is okay. But again, if you don't win your division, if you're the Yankees, you got to go through four rounds. You got to go through the best two out of three. You got to win the wild card best out of five, and then the ALCS best of seven, then the World Series best of seven. That's four rounds, and you're only getting 10-1. And that's like, again, if you don't win the division, that's, you're better off just playing round by round. And if you do like them to win the division, well, you're getting like plus 165 to win the division. So maybe just go that route and play them round by round. So I don't think you're getting great numbers on any of these. I mentioned the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I mean, they're going to win a million games. They're lined at 103.5, 104.5. Their season starts basically October 5th or 6th or whatever it is, because they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to mow through these teams in the regular season, and it's going to come down to October. And who knows? Their pitching, is it healthy? Is it good? Guys like Glasnow and Paxton, we'll see how good Yamamoto is. I think he'll be pretty good. But again, they're going to have a lot of questions to answer, but it's going to come down to a best of five where their season is going to start. These 162 games don't mean anything. Their season is going to start early October once they get into the playoffs, and they can go – they can win all the games they want. They could go 132-30. Nobody's going to care because it's all about the playoffs with them after the disaster that happened last year with Arizona, the year before with the Padres. They only won one World Series in this run where they've been so dominant. And even that was 60-game season in a bubble, which I don't discount, but I know some people look at it differently, be like, hey, it wasn't a real season. There weren't fans. I don't totally buy that, but they've certainly underachieved, underperformed in a lot of these postseason settings. And they're going to be the team to watch now with Ohtani, with Yamamoto. They're not going to have Ohtani pitching. So that they're not like, again, that plus 350 is just too short because they don't have that great pitching. They've got good pitching, but they're all guys that can go either way in terms of the health with the Glasnows and the Paxtons and Yamamoto. We haven't seen Buehler's always hurt. He'll pitch at some point. May's always hurt. Like these guys, Kershaw's not the same pitcher anymore. So again, you can't bet that number. Like if I was going to take a shot on any of these, I don't know, the Mariners at 20-1. Maybe, then again, it's just, that's a lot of steps. They're in a division with the Rangers who won the World Series and the Astros who were one game away from going to the World Series, and the Astros have been really the best organization in the sport, or right there, for the last decade or so. And you're in the third team in that division, and you're still only getting 20-1. So I don't see a ton of value in these numbers. I'll ask Jason Weingarten if he sees any differently. The Yankees are always going to be a team that people are interested in. They have Judge, they have Soto. I do think people are sleeping a little bit on the fact that, hey, they got two of the five best offensive players in baseball. That is going to be fun to watch. They do need a third guy to step up, whether that's Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, LeMahieu. It can't just be those two guys, because then you can just pitch around one of them and hopefully get the other one out and just let the other guys beat you. Stan, obviously, he's at the point now where I think, you know, you can't really expect him to be the 35-40 homer guy he's been in the past. He's a lot thinner. You just hope he stays healthy and he gives you some big hits. He gives you something. But they do need a third guy to step up, whether that's LeMahieu or Rizzo or Torres or Stanton or somebody. Because, I mean, Judge and Soto. Now, Judge, you always have to worry about him missing his 30-40 games. That's just, look at the back of the baseball card. You could say it's fluky, and some of it has been. You know, he hurts his toe against the Dodgers. He takes a fastball off the wrist, but he's a bigger guy. He's gotten hurt. He's getting older now. You don't usually look at guys that are injury prone and say, hey, they're going to get healthier as they get older. But you hope you can keep Judge on the field for 145, 150 games. Soto's pretty steady, and those two guys will be a lot of fun to watch. Soto in that ballpark. I know they gave up a lot for him. They gave up a lot of pitching, but they desperately needed to appease the fans with how unaggressive they've been in free agency, letting the guys like Harper and Machado and Freeman go. They needed a bat. They were boring last year. They were bad last year. And now you put yourself in a situation where, hey, you got Judge, you got Soto. I don't buy this idea that they're going to add Blake Snell. I think that's teams using the Yankees as leverage. I think that if you follow them closely, they are very careful of this luxury tax. Every dollar they spend, they get taxed on. And let's face it, they're very concerned with their profits as opposed to just, hey, putting up another banner. The profits have become more important under this ownership. Hal Steinbrenner is not like George Steinbrenner. George would give his arm to win. He would bleed to win. This is not the same group. They are very conscious of their profits. So keep that in mind. I don't think Snell will be a Yankee. I'd be happy to be wrong. They could definitely use another arm, because outside of Cole, it's a lot of question marks. You know, Stroman, some of these younger guys, Schmidt, it's okay. I think the key to the team for the Yankees, really, besides getting the third hitter to step up, is Rodon. Because if Rodon can be the guy they thought he was, bringing him in here, the all-star level pitcher, you know, pitch to a high 2, low 3 ERA. Cortez is pretty good when he's healthy. Again, a lot of injury concerns, a lot of injury issues with the Yankees, similar to the Dodgers rotation, outside of Cole, who's steady. And, boy, people that knock Cole in that signing just have no idea what they're talking about, because he, outside of that start in Boston, and that was a bad one, he's been great for the Yankees. He's given them a presence, a dominant top of the rotation guy. Again, too many homers. That start in Boston was bad. He's pitching off a bad hamstring a couple weeks earlier, but he's been a great addition. And you look at some of the other contracts people are getting, that is a bargain. So the key is Rodon, because if you can get another all-star caliber pitcher to put behind Cole, with Judge, with Soto, you're going to have a good team. So the Yankees will be fun to watch, I think. 93.5, again, health is such a concern. That's at 90. If you're betting the 93.5, if you're betting the over, you're just betting health. You're betting health either way with them. Because if they're healthy, they should clear the 93.5. But Cole misses a month, Judge misses a month. I don't know that they have the guys to step up. So, again, I think Snell probably, if I had to guess, would land with the Giants. They seem like they've had money to burn in the past, whether it's, hey, they just missed out on Judge. They almost signed Correa, and then that fell through because of the physical. They were in the mix for Ohtani. So I think Snell would at least give them they have a lot of ground to make up between them and the Dodgers. But if they do get Snell, you put yourself in a position where, hey, we could sneak into a wild card, and you start a playoff series, a short series with Logan Webb and Snell. Hey, then you got a chance pretty much against anyone. So I guess he'd end up with the Giants. Again, I think the Yankees are probably being used as leverage here, just some negotiating tactics. I don't get the sense the Yankees will sign Snell. Be interesting to see what kind of money he gets. And again, Montgomery, I don't know, does he go back to the Rangers? Does he go to the Red Sox? Where does Matt Chapman go? I'm not sure. It is very odd that these guys haven't signed. So baseball will be here before you know it. It's once the great thing about baseball, once it's here and it's there every day. It's not like football where you have to wait a week between games. It is a game pretty much every day for like 6 months. So excited for the season, excited to talk to Jason Weingarten. We'll get his thoughts. He is about as good as anyone betting these awards futures. He always has an interesting way of looking at things. So we'll talk to him next. This is the Should A Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should A Bet More podcast. Let's talk some baseball futures awards. There is nobody better than this man. It is the great Jason Weingarten. Jason, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Happy almost baseball season. It doesn't It doesn't feel like it's even here, but we're already like a week into full-on games already. So it really hit the ground running this year.
Yeah, I was just saying in my open too. Once you get to March Madness, like it does kind of fly by where it's, you look up and it'll be baseball season before you know it. With the games, I think it's overseas we start. But I'll just give you the floor to start here. What have you bet so far in baseball?
Not a ton, to be honest. This year, I didn't feel like I had to go out there and go crazy on some of these opening numbers, because a lot of things are either where they should be or kind of no value. So yeah, I picked off a couple things I thought were interesting. I mentioned yesterday I really like Pete Alonso, most home runs this year. Got some money on that between 8-1, 10-1, even got some 9-1. So holding a couple different tickets there. Otherwise, it's not particularly the most exciting year of futures, at least to start.
Do you feel like they've shortened the numbers with, and we'll talk World Series odds. I definitely feel that in terms of the World Series, but do you just feel like, hey, they're not giving away anything good. Gambling, betting's more prevalent. They don't want to hang big numbers. I noticed this with NFL MVP too, where you can't get anybody decent above like 12-1. Is that been an issue? You think that's part of the reason?
Not really. We know who the good players are when it comes to MVP. It's not particularly a secret who the top 5 or 10 players in baseball are, and then you narrow it down to each league or whatever, AL, NL. But really, I mean, it comes down to, like, you just look at the pools themselves. You look at the NL pool. You got Acuna coming back. He had such a monster season last year. He's the reigning champ. He's the favorite. You have three guys on the Dodgers competing for the top, who's the best guy on the Dodgers spot. It can go any of those three ways with Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts. And then after that, you just sort of got your take your pick of the next best tier of guys, from Matt Olson and Fernando Tatis and Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Corbin Carroll. I guess you can make cases for guys like that, other than Fernando Tatis, who I really don't think, is going to win an MVP anytime soon. But these just aren't particularly excited markets. Like, there's nobody beyond the, say, 30-1 tier that I think you could really make a serious case for. I'm struggling to see it. Like, maybe in the craziest of crazy scenarios, O'Neal Cruz at 120-1, has like a 40-40 season and the Pirates make the playoffs. But like, I just go down this list and I don't see anything particularly exciting outside of, Acuna and Betts and sort of the top tier guys here.
Do you think that'll change once the season starts? Where, hey, we get into April, May, June, even later in the season, where they're just, I don't know, they leave up a number that it shouldn't be. They overreact to a slow start. Do you find that if you wait, you'll find a better number?
Well, I think it's always important to remind people MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. You can have a bad April, much, much better in rebound than you can a bad August or a bad September. A lot of cases, like I mentioned, Gunnar Henderson last year, he started the season very poorly and still ended up, with 30-plus home runs and a very good all-around season. But had you panicked and looked at his numbers in April or early May, there were plenty of people who thought he needed to be demoted back to AAA. So you always have to be patient, especially with rookies. Don't give up on guys. If you saw something you liked, don't necessarily give up on them because they had a bad April. But no, I don't really think in the MVP markets, at least in the NL, with the Dodgers and the Braves, having all the talent up top, barring injury. You probably have a pretty good idea where the MVP is coming from at the top of that pool. I do think what's more interesting is in the American League, we're finally getting rid of Ohtani, who's kind of dominated the odds in the MVP pool for the last couple years. Aaron Judge is now 5.5-1 favorite with Juan Soto, his teammate. And, I do think you should probably have Soto slightly ahead of Judge. Judge got the name, but Soto is the all-around, best player. I mean, I think you look at the top 5, 6, 7 players in the AL, Judge, Soto, Seager, Julio Rodriguez, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Bobby Witt. We're talking some of the best players of baseball there, and I didn't even mention Mike Trout or Vlad Jr. Like, that's a stacked race.
Anyone worth a bet? You mentioned, you hinted at Soto, but is that direction you'd go, or is there nothing bettable here?
I mean, it sucks because he's 6-1.
Right.
You know, I liked it when he was 50-1. It's 6-1. Same thing, Corey Seager, 8.5-1. Like, I love these guys. We know they're great players. No, I don't necessarily think you have to pile in any of these guys at 6-1, 8.5-1. Yordan Alvarez, I think his number at 11-1 might be worth, you know, a little something before the season, because I do think if he stays healthy, that number comes down significantly. You know, but that same thing, you can say that about Mike Trout. He's 20-1. What does Mike Trout have to do to win another MVP? We're asking guys to stay healthy here, but Trout, right, and Yordan Alvarez at double-digit numbers at 11-1, at 20-1, definitely at least have my attention. And then in all of this, you know, I'm talking about all of this, I didn't even mention Jose Ramirez, 22-1, a little farther down the list. That's a really good bet, actually. I think when you kind of look at the players a little off the pace here for MVP, he's the best player on his team. He has very similar projections to a healthy Mike Trout. And, you know, if the Guardians win the division and Jose Ramirez puts up monster numbers, you could at least probably make the argument he's going to get votes in the MVP race if he's healthy. You know, I think that's probably one of the better actual values I've seen out there so far.
How about Cy Young? NL, Strider's the short shot plus 550. No, thank you. Cole's the short shot to repeat in the American League plus 500. No, thank you again. Anybody top of your head, like further down the board, that you'd like take a flyer on in either of these markets?
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to find a good number on Yamamoto, but like the best I've seen is like 13-1 or so far. And I just can't back a guy with no MLB experience for Cy Young at 13-1. Strider, I've always kind of been against Strider. And then last year, I sort of considered the position that maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong about Spencer Strider, and I have to reconsider that he really is Randy Johnson. But I'm not backing him at 5-1. It's tough. Like, same thing. I see a lot of guys here. I see Tyler Glasnow. Like, I love Tyler Glasnow, but do we really think he's going to get the proper innings to win a Cy Young? Like, I don't think the Dodgers need him to pitch 180 plus regular season innings. And that's probably going to prevent him from being a serious Cy Young contender. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough. What's the deal with Chris Sale? Is Chris Sale going to be a starting pitcher in Atlanta? Do we know this?
I think so. I think so.
That's kind of one of those moves that's really flown under the radar, huh? Chris Sale's in Atlanta now. How come no one's talking about that?
It has. Yeah, I think the Red Sox have been off the radar. I think that Sale's been hurt a lot. But, boy, if you can keep him healthy, and again, you don't need him April, May, June. You just sort of pace him and keep him healthy for October. That, if nothing else, you can bring him out of the bullpen to face guys like Otani and Freddie Freeman on the Dodgers, just like a lefty specialist to give you maybe a couple innings. Again, 75-1. At 75-1, not terrible for that talent. Like, the talent and the number, that's what like a 75-1 is at least there. Because some of these other guys I'm looking at, like Josiah Gray's not winning this award. Alex Cobb's not winning this award. Those are some of those guys in his range. I don't think Walker Buehler is going to pitch enough to win this at 40-1, but at 75-1 Sale, I guess with the talent, that's not terrible.
I think, I mean, it's something I got to kind of think about a little bit more, but I mean, the talent's absolutely there. I don't think the innings are, but one of the things I always tell people to do is just when you get a pool like this, an easy exercise to just go through the list, like looking at FanDuel right now. Miles Mikolas, Nick Martinez, Edward Cabrera, Bryce Elder, Frankie Montas. Like, you literally just cross every one of those names off the list. Like, it doesn't matter what their odds are. They have 0% chance of winning. I don't care what they do. Just cross them off the list. Josiah Gray. Like, you're never getting Josiah Gray. I don't care. He can have, you know, 30 innings of shutout ball to start the year. He's not winning Cy Young. I just kind of take all these names off immediately. So I'm really narrowing down from the start who actually even has a chance. It's sort of like, you know, just filtering out as much of the noise as you can as quick as possible. But Sale, I don't know. I'm going to talk myself into that, I think, today.
And 75-1, I'm looking at DraftKings. Maybe there's a better number out there. But again, for the talent.
Oh, it sounds pretty good. I saw 40 at FanDuel just now.
And 40, I wouldn't bet. 40 is too short. But at 75, not terrible. How about American League? I know you and I were texting the other day about Cole Reagans again.
Yeah, that's like the same.
Pitcher, just
same,
don't like the number.
It's same thing. Yeah, I love the pitcher, but like 25-1 pitcher on the Royals. I guess like of all the numbers, I like hate that the least of all the top 10 or 15 guys. Like Gerrit Cole 5-1 reigning champ doesn't thrill me to bet it again. Gausman 7-1 don't love it. Lopez, Framber 10-1, not really very exciting. Corbin Burns 10-1, I do think he has a legitimate shot. You know, he's on a team that's going to put him in the best chance to succeed.
I need more than 10-1.
But all these other ones like Castillo, Kirby's, Tariq Skubal, Logan Gilbert, like no interest. I would rather bet Cole Reagans over pretty much the five guys before or after him, pretty much on the list.
Just a few guys down here that are interesting. Ryan was 50-1. He was like a third favorite last year. Then he fell off. He didn't even get a start. Maybe they gave him like a token start in the playoffs and only pitched a couple innings. I don't know, 50-1. The number is at least interesting. Rodon has the talent to at least flirt with this race. He was terrible last year, but if you go back to his years with the Giants, one of his years with the White Sox, like Rodon had some really good years. Again, health is a concern, innings is a concern, but from a numbers grab, 50-1, he's on a marquee Yankees team. I don't know. I don't hate that.
Don't think he can beat his own teammates.
Probably not.
I don't think he's going to pitch. So problem with the guy like Rodon is he could be a monster. But at the end of the season, he's going to have like 150 innings pitched. Gerrit Cole's going to have like 220. And you're going to be like, yeah, we're going to give it to him. It's not going to happen.
Probably right. And a guy I like, again, I don't know that he can win. Tanner Bibee, I bet a lot last year. I like that kid. 100-1. Again, you're grabbing a number. And 100-1, not terrible. But I'm looking to fade the top of the board. I'm just anyone 20-1 or under. I don't have a lot of interest. Verlander at his age is not winning at 30-1. Bradish is at 30-1. Bradish isn't even going to, he's dealing with a UCL. That's a terrible number. I mean, some of these numbers are just so bad.
What about Gavin Williams?
I like him too. I don't even see him here. I like both those Indians pitchers. Maybe are the Guardians pitchers. Maybe I'll just bet the Indians to win the division because I like those arms. And, you know, McKenzie 80-1. He's got good strikeout stuff. I don't see Gavin Williams here.
I see him on FanDuel. He's 100-1, but again, I haven't shopped a lot of these numbers yet. I know there's plenty of time for a lot of this stuff. It's literally not even, it's still not even March. We're doing this on leap day.
Yes. How about odds to just win the World Series? Again, I don't feel like any of these are great numbers, but if I gave you like $100 free, but I'll just read off some of the favorites. Dodgers plus 350, way too short. Braves plus 450, Astros 8-1, Yankees 10-1. Orioles 12-1, Rangers 14-1, Phillies 15-1. Then you got a bunch of teams at 20-1, Toronto, Seattle, the Twins, the Cubs are 25-1, the Diamondbacks and Rays are 35-1. Also, the Cardinals are 35-1. And then you get into donations. I guess the Reds could make a run at 45-1, but like the Mets at 45-1, the Red Sox at 50-1. Those are missing zeros. A lot of these numbers are missing zeros towards the bottom. Anything appetizing whatsoever here?
Like if you were giving me a free bet and I had to kind of narrow stuff down. Yep. Probably look at the Giants.
Okay. Figure they get Snell and maybe they could start a series with Webb and Snell maybe.
Maybe the Dodgers get Blake Snell just to you know, show everybody we're not done and we're better than you. You ever think about that? Who's Snell going to sign with? It's pretty much getting down to the signing time, you know?
I think the Giants, just because it seems like they've had money to burn these past few offseasons where like they were flirting with Ohtani. They came close with Judge. They signed Correa and that fell through. And they're like, they're not a title team as currently constructed. The Dodgers are so far ahead of them. But if you sign
Snell, more reason for the Dodgers to sign Snell, by the way.
Yeah, maybe they will. I mean,
just
who knows?
Keep them from the Giants. Doesn't really cost that much to. I would. If I had infinite money, I would absolutely be signing Snell right now just because you never have enough pitching. You know, like it really, it's the truest thing in baseball. You can never have enough pitching. But yeah, I would go with Giants at a big number, like 65-1 is what I see here. What number do you have for them?
DraftKings 55-1, but I'm sure that you could get a better.
I got 65 here. Otherwise, Blue Jays 20-1 coming out of that division with that lineup. Like, you know, don't sleep on Vlad Jr. You know, we kind of know nobody talks about him anymore. He was a potential MVP just a couple of years ago. Always Twins. I always wonder what the Twins could do if everybody stays healthy, if Byron Buxton stays healthy, but then they always find some sort of way to kind of make themselves uninteresting at the end. So yeah, I'm going with Blue Jays or Giants if I had to, but I really don't think anyone's coming out of the National League other than the Dodgers or the Braves. Like, I'd be really surprised if we don't see those teams.
I would agree with you, but I probably would have said the same thing last August. Like, hey, we're destined for the Braves, Dodgers, NLCS, and neither made it. Neither won, or the Braves won one game, and the Dodgers got swept. They got killed in the playoffs, so who knows?
That is true. Baseball is a weird way of doing stuff like that.
I don't know. I was saying off the top, man, to sit here in March and, you know, who's going to win the World Series. They've made it impossible with the extra rounds, the format. It's just, it's so much like March Madness where it's just, there's so much randomness.
But it's still probably going to be the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are saying it's still probably going to be the Dodgers.
Yeah, but again, their season starts October 5th pretty much because, I mean, they've been dominant for a bunch of years and they only have that one to show for it. Rookie of the Year, you're great with these. You always come up with names when I listen to you on the other shows I've never even heard of sometimes. Yamamoto, 2-1, is the short shot at Rookie of the Year. I mean, and then Holiday is the short shot for the American League at +250 with Carter right behind that. Take it any direction you want to go with either league Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The AL, Evan Carter starts the outfield for the World Series for the champions. And you can make a case he's not even the favorite for Rookie of the Year. You could even make the case that he's not even the best rookie on his own team this year, that Wyatt Langford's going to be the next superstar and be even better than Evan Carter. So, you know, the Rangers at least are in a pretty nice spot to open the season with Carter and potentially Langford joining him in the majors sooner rather than later. Jackson Holliday, as I've mentioned before, if I had to guess, the Orioles are likely going to find a reason to keep Holliday in the minors just enough time to get another arbor out of him, just to do the service time manipulation game. So we likely see him up in May as opposed to starting for the Orioles on opening day. He's talented enough to play in the majors right now, but, you know, the service time manipulation is more important than winning games in the regular season. So Holiday probably shows up in May. And like I said, the Rookie of the Year race doesn't really start till the beginning of May or even June. So if you bet on somebody and they're still in the minors 6 weeks into the season, you haven't necessarily lost yet. You know, you have to take everything sort of in the context of each year. Like last year, for example, Corbin Carroll just ran away with it and never stopped, never got injured. Sometimes you're just in a situation where some guy wins and basically goes wire to wire. It doesn't always happen. If you'll excuse me a minute, I just got a text about betting in a spring training game, so I'm going to try to plug that in while I'm doing this too. But yeah, Carter, Holiday, Langford, wouldn't surprise me if the AL Rookie of the Year comes out of those three. Next three guys on the list, Colt Keith, Junior Caminaro, who's replacing Wander Franco at shortstop for the Rays, and Nolan Schonell, who's kind of interesting to me. He was drafted last year and immediately promoted to the majors by the Angels. At least there should be some talent there. Somebody who gets promoted that quickly, you know, at least should have, you know, you should circle it or, you know, keep your eye on it, see how he does in spring training. And then Kyle Manzardo, another guy on the Guardians. He got traded from the Rays last season. He's the first baseman, definitely an opportunity for him to kind of get a lot of at-bats there, because a lot of Rookie of the Year stuff doesn't come down to identifying who the best player is. It comes down to identifying who the best player is who's going to get the most playing time, because you have to actually play to, you know, win this award.
How about, I don't know if you mentioned, did you mention Yamamoto? Would you shop around and find the best number and just put it in your pocket and be happy in 4 or 5 months that you had it?
No.
Just polished. Okay.
No. You know why I wouldn't do that?
Injury concern?
Spencer Strider. Think about Spencer. What numbers did Spencer Strider put up his rookie year and didn't win. Not only didn't win, he got like 8 of 31st place votes. You know, you're going to go out and bet like 2-1 on a guy who's never even pitched in MLB before, like just because he's potentially the ace of the Dodgers. There's so much more downside than potentially winning the Rookie of the Year there. I do think it's very possible he wire to wires the award, but I don't understand how you could possibly bet him at 2-1, or FanDuel has plus 180. Like, to me, that's practically insane. Like I said, you just look up a dude like Spencer Strider, who absolutely dominated his rookie year and got no consideration. So the uphill battle for pitchers to win Rookie of the Year, it's so high. I have my eye on some other guys farther down the list in the National League.
Let's hear them.
I haven't bet him yet.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, Skeens is 11-1. I know he's a big talent. Do you think Skeens?
But same thing. He should be 100-1. He has to come out and put up Spencer Strider rookie numbers better than that. Right. Even like I'm saying, even Spencer Strider didn't win. So, you know, everything has to be taken in the context of the year and the competition. But for a pitcher to win Rookie of the Year, they're going to have to do something extraordinary at this rate.
I do think it helps Skeens that he's a number one pick. Strider, we hear of him till he burst onto the scene and started striking everybody out. Skeens, we at least have that backdrop of, hey, he's at LSU, he's a number one pick, but your point is still well taken.
Yeah, I would bet at least 10 names on this list before I bet a pitcher. And then he wouldn't even be the first pitcher I bet. Neither would Yamamoto, for that matter.
All right. So nothing, no hints in terms of...
Imanaga would be the guy I'd bet over Yamamoto.
Okay, and you can get him 9-1. I don't know if that's the best price, but...
That's not even a good price. That's a terrible price too.
Okay. And how good are these kids?
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Yeah. Cameron Niro, the kid for the Rays, just to go back to the American League. Is he's supposed to be the real deal, right?
Yeah, he's good. You know, the AL field, it just happens to be so stacked. We're probably kind of overlooking some guys far down the list that we normally would kind of get more attention just because it's such a stacked field. I mean, even farther down, like, or Elvis Martinez is a guy, like, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a contributor this year, but there's just plenty of talented names on this list. Jason Dominguez, another guy, for example. We wouldn't even be talking about him as a long shot had he not had, Tommy John surgery. So, like I said, it's not about talent, it's about playing time.
Makes sense. Last couple ones before we get you out of here. Does anyone sign Bauer?
Not before the start of the season. Maybe if there's like a pitching crisis in season, but at this point, it's not looking good.
How about the Yanks with Soto here and Judge? We touched on it briefly. 93.5 wins. Is this a big time team, or they don't have enough pitching in your mind?
I think this is actually the best chance that you have of having a big time team, especially if Dominguez comes back healthy near the second half of the season. The pitching can be dealt with as the season progresses, but what's important is keeping Aaron Judge healthy. Cause like I've mentioned this week, I talked on Gil's show. They brought up Judge is on the record now saying that his toe injury requires, you know, constant management, and having little injuries to your toes or wrists or, you know, stuff like that in baseball can have huge impacts on your mechanics. So a lot of potential downside stuff to worry about with Judge. But if everything works out, you know, the Soto Judge sort of core is really a really nice sort of 3-4 to build your lineup around.
Sure is. I was saying in my open, need one more guy to step up. You need that third bat because Judge and Soto is nice, but I mean, Judge has had a habit.
Alex Verdugo, man.
Yeah, Verdugo will be a nice addition. I think they're a little more left-handed, which is nice. Dominguez sounds like he's closer than they thought in terms of like, hey, he might be back like May or June. You never know how these injuries pan out. But whether it's Rizzo, whether it's Glaber, you need that third guy. I think we're past the point of Stanton being that legitimate, you know, 35 home run guy. He's not the same player. But if you get a third guy.
It helps. Here's the thing. It helps when you got a guy like Stanton. You have Judge and Soto, you know. Putting guys in the right position is very important in baseball and all sports. You know, putting guys in in a position to succeed versus, you know, making Stanton your protection for Judge and expecting him to, you know, do his job at his age. You know, now the pressure's off him. He's the third guy, not the second guy in that lineup, or maybe even he's the fourth guy in the lineup. He's a lot better. He's a lot better in the role that he's in now. So, you know, you can expect, you know, what you're expecting out of him is much more reasonable for the role he's in now. I think that's a good thing.
Yep, totally agree. All right, anything else? Anything I missed on? Anything else you want to get out there?
You know, just rookie of the year. I think you go Wyatt Langford, Yamamoto, Caminaro, Holiday, and Jackson Churio. If I had to guess, your rookie of the years are coming out of those five guys. If it's not Yamamoto, it'll be interesting to see why. But yeah, I have a couple names I'm interested in farther down the list that I'm still kind of building some positions on that we'll see if anything pans out, but it should be an interesting season. Markets are always competitive and, you know, they'll shape up as the season goes on. There's always, always different things to find value on.
Does one of them rhyme with James Wood? I know he's had a good spring and you mentioned him the other day.
Yeah, he's one of them, but he's not the guy. Like he's one of the guys that got my eye on. But when I'm like, I got guys farther down the list, I don't mean James Wood. I mean farther down the list than James Wood.
All right. Well, we will have you on regularly during baseball as often as you want to come on. We appreciate it. Let everyone know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Spreadopedia, and I'm on Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, and yeah, we'll see where else I pop up this year. Not expecting to do a ton as opposed to previous years, but yeah, I'll be around.
All right, Jason, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to Jason Weingarten. We'll be back Monday, getting closer and closer to March Madness. These conference tournaments about to start. So next few weeks, it'll be a little of everything like it's been. March Madness, we'll get ready for that. When the brackets come out, I'm sure we'll do plenty of that. Sprinkle in a little NBA, baseball as that gets closer. So fun time of the year. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. See you guys Monday.